Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much to our friends at Get Carter Productions for the first Business Builder podcast on tour. The aim of the podcasts, as some of you will know, is to talk to some leading business owners and professionals across the UK and for them to share their experiences and skills and tips and pass them on to you so you can build a better business. Delighted that I'm going to be joined by Paul Carter from Get Carter Productions and that they're hosting us today. So to start off, Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself. So in 30 seconds, tell us who you are and importantly, why do you get out of bed in the morning?
Right. Thank you very much, Phil. I'm Paul Carter, owner of Get Carter Productions, and now my official title here is Creative Director. I get out of bed in the morning to come and do this because I'm really very fortunate that when I get up in the morning, I can actually look forward to a day where I can actually change my destiny. I can shape my future. I can do things that I want to do, you know. I could come in, I wouldn't do it, but if I came in one day and decided that we were going to make chocolate biscuits from now on, I'm fortunate enough to be in a position to be able to do that. And it's a great feeling. It's inspiring.
And has that just happened instantly then, Paul?
No. I think the life cycle of any business, and you'll know this better than anybody, you kind of start off with survival is the kind of the thing in mind when you get started. And suddenly you realise, well, actually, I've kind of got the hang of this. And actually, I'm kind of looking at how we can grow the business and improve things and make things better. And then you start to get to a point where hopefully, with any luck, you're not kind of involved in the business. You're not in the business all day long. You can actually take a step back and look at what's best for the business and work on it.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know.
And if you were to ask somebody close to you to describe you in three words, what would they be? And, of course, you know, no swear words, please.
Well, that takes the first 10 out. I would hope that they would say I was creative. And I don't just mean in terms of my ability to write radio commercials or cast voices, but just a sort of creative thinker. I would hope that they would say I was resourceful, because I think being able to tackle problems in a number of different ways is always handy. And I think the thing I'd really like people to say about me after a few years of not being like this, that I'm maybe now a little bit more self-aware. Mm-hmm. In the sense that I actually know when I'm being an arse now. So,
and would you attribute those three things that have given you the ability to now get out of bed in the morning and be able to see the bigger picture as a business owner? Because you talked about having to go through the life cycle of survival, and then you start to adapt and onwards. You know, those, the creativity and resourcefulness and self-awareness, are they learned, you know, or are they something that's been ingrained in you from an early age?
I think you kind of evolve. I think you evolve into the person that you want to be, hopefully. And I think when you start out, you need the determination. You need to be single-minded, you know, with a purpose, and you have to believe that what you're doing is the right thing. And then, as I say, it's that old saying, you know, the more I practice, the luckier I get. the more you do things in the day-to-day and learn from your mistakes, you then kind of evolve into this person that maybe has a bit more of a wider view of things. You know, in the beginning, for most businesses, it is. It's about just making sure you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah. And when you started up, you know, in the back garden as such, which is a lovely story and very kind of typical of a lot of business owners of kitchen bench and all those. Did you imagine that you'd get to where you are now? Was the vision then to be here, or again, has that evolved over time?
I think even before I set the company up, I think I had in my mind, wouldn't it be great to be running a company that's the best in the UK at this particular thing? Wouldn't it be great to have the most number of that kind of clients and specialise in that? And yeah, I think a lot of the time you're having to try and convince yourself that that's possible. But I think everybody probably starts with, wouldn't it be the great to be the best that I can be and actually be a kind of a leader in the sector that you're in?
Because
otherwise, well, you know, you've got to have a goal.
Exactly right. And going into that a little bit then, Paul, why the hell did you decide to start up your own business? You know, I ask this question to most people when I meet because it's a risky thing. It's a, you know, it's a very different path to most people.
Actually, when I look back on the decision, I do wonder because at the time I worked for the local radio station in the Northeast, which is still here and still doing remarkably well. And I'd kind of gotten as far up the greasy pole as I could within that group of companies that's you know, international company now. And I kind of thought, I can't really get any further. I can't do what I want to do within that organisation because their goals are different to mine. And that's perfectly fine. And my skill set wasn't really what they were looking for in terms of much higher management. So the only way I could really do what I wanted to do was to say, look, it's been fantastic and brilliant, but I've got to step out and try and do this thing on my own. And actually, when I look back, I had an 18-month-old and, you know, a little guy who was barely born.
Yeah,
when
with a regular salary.
With a regular salary, a car.
Yeah.
And all the things that you suddenly think, oh, right. But yeah, surprisingly, it was quite an easy decision to make.
And was there a trigger point? Was there something? Did you get into work in the morning?
There was, actually.
Okay.
I went and took a brief, funnily enough, from just around the corner where Harlan's used to be, at an e-business centre in Consett.
Yeah.
And basically, it was the turn of the millennium. Europe was giving lots and lots of money to the region for startups, for technology. I mean, broadband was a relatively new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this place would give you office space, a computer, unlimited broadband access, car parking. And it was all nice and new, you know, reception. And I thought, well, this is fantastic, you know, and I'm going taking a brief to put on the radio to attract businesses to start up there. And I thought, well, this is the ideal thing for me, you know.
Yeah.
How can you lose? It's actually a case of believing in the adverts.
Yeah, But it sounds like that there's a bit that there was something nagging in the back of the mind around career aspirations, you know, and then going up to Consett and seeing, actually, there's an opportunity for me to potentially get a space here and to go, actually, I could set up a business. And then you've got to have self-belief that you can win customers and have that bloody-mindedness to go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this for a period of time and hopefully it'll be successful.
I think you're right. I think there's probably a lot of people out there who are in really good jobs who aren't necessarily conscious of this glass ceiling thing every day. But when they think about it, you know, I was in a situation where I was recruiting people, training them up. They were going off to work at different parts of the organisation at my level. At the same time, there were other people coming in other roles within the company that were kind of, in terms of their career progression, were overtaking me. And it wasn't a case of, well, you know, I'm entitled to these opportunities. But you have to create your own opportunities sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, it's not my fault or their fault that their agenda is different to mine. It's just the way it was. I had a particular set of things that I wanted to do and felt that we could really succeed in.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't theirs because that wasn't what their corporate structure was all about.
So when you look back on the journey from, you know, since the kind of that decision, anything you would have done differently? Anything that you look back on and think, if I could revisit that, I would do it completely differently? Or do you just see it as actually, that's been part of my journey?
I think my journey, I feel very happy and satisfied and pleased with the way things have gone. I guess if I could have changed anything, it would have been think bigger sooner.
Yeah.
Think scale sooner.
Yeah.
Because actually, the only thing that's really stopped us was the decision to go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and decide the kind of people that we wanted to work with, the kind of clients we wanted to work for. I think.
And is that confidence, do you think? Is that kind of a, you know, when you start up in business, lifestyle's enough, and wow, I'm never going to be able to get there? Or why do you think? Because the reason I'm saying that is there are two people who are going to be listening to this who I've met just yesterday, who were going through that particular bit, that leap, and it is a leap from lifestyle business mm-hmm. to scale up?
I think a lot of it is actually meeting with people and talking to people who have done it, yeah. who've been in organisations where they've made the decision, look, we're not going to do it that way anymore because we believe the future's over here. And I think when you see people and who have clearly made the leap, it's not even a leap, actually. It's just a decision. You just get bogged down, and it's yeah. back to this thing of being in the business all day. Yeah. If all I'm ever doing is writing scripts and producing voiceover sessions, I'm not thinking about, well, why am I not doing that? It takes just as long to do it for that client as it does for this huge client. Mm-hmm. Why am I not working for them? Mm-hmm. It's a straightforward decision to sort of gear yourself up for that, really.
And going back to some of your traits around that creativeness, resourcefulness, and being self-aware, the ability that we see regularly is those who have those type of traits, with the element that they're willing to talk to people and get advice to give them confidence, are the ones that then have more success on the fact that it's not a leap, as you say, it's a step. You know, that and we find that a lot of that is again down to their own self-awareness, to their confidence level of going, I trust in my ability. I've done all the work here and I trust in my ability to take that step to the next level. Because we tend to find that in a lot of these cases that people don't have that experience or feel they don't have the experience and are therefore going, I'm going to stay in my comfort zone, which is where I currently are.
Well, I think apart from speaking to other people who run businesses, actually, and this is going to sound like a massive plug for, but actually having partners along the way who have experience of working with bigger organisations and kind of understand what's different, how different you can make things by just tweaking a few different things. Having Harlan's, having Glyn mm-hmm. from pretty much month one, I yeah. think, actually. Yeah. I think we were one of his first clients
yeah,
and he
right.
was certainly our first professional advisor. But he's always said, what if, why don't you? And it's always just about asking the questions. Mm-hmm. And I think if you work with people who do that, whether that's as professional partners or even people within your organisation, why don't we try it this way? Yeah. Why don't we do that? Then you'll always think, you'll always have that at the back of your mind that there is something better.
Yeah, okay. So we've talked a bit about the past, and as progressive accountants, we want to talk about the future. You've got to where you are. What does the future hold for the business then? So, you know, you're in a different place now, you know, in terms of physically as well as, you know, kind of in terms of organisation structure. What does the future hold?
Well, quite recently, as I said in my little intro, I'm no longer the managing director. We've actually taken the step to appoint a managing director so that I can get on with doing what I'm good at. And he's getting on with what he's good at, which is driving us into new areas. So we've got a very clear target to be the biggest and best and the most successful commercial production company in the UK. And as a part of that, we measure that by bigger and better clients, household names. So we've got a little target list of who we want to be working for in the next 3 years. So in the next 3 years, it's about achieving that. And it's also about, beyond that, 5 years is having London office, Manchester office, having a presence.
But you're just a little business in the northeast of England, Puff. You know, why are we going down to London? You know,
because that's the pub everyone drinks in.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're just as capable of walking into that pub and buying a drink as anyone else.
Completely right.
You know, and I think, dare I say, I think there are two types of business operators. There are quite parochial, this is my little patch, I love it, I love where I am, it's great. And then hopefully we fall into the category of people who say, well, you know, actually, we're just as talented and clever and able as the people down the road. Let's join in with their party.
And I completely agree. Having had some recent successes in London, speaking to lots of similar type of firms, I say lots, a small number of similar firms who are migrating from the northeast and getting that train on a 7 o'clock on a morning, we're as good, if not better. And again, I think that's down to confidence levels. That's the ability to go, let's look wider and seeing experiences. Going back a little bit, and this is a personal question, but please bear with me. So you've brought a managing director in. How's that happened? Or how does that make you feel? Because you've been running this business since the start, bringing an MD in to come on your patch, such and take on some of the tasks. How's that gone?
Well, I've been very, very fortunate in the sense that Matthew actually worked with me quite close to the start, and he decided that at that time his personal career was better off moving elsewhere. So he actually left Get Carter Productions, went off to work for some of the bigger radio groups. His most recent job was to be in charge of quite a few stations in the northwest of England over lots of sales teams and lots of people. Was really lucky that I offered him something here that he thought was worth coming back for. And it's. I was very concerned that it would be, how am I going to work with somebody that's basically doing everything that I used to do? Yeah. It's been fantastic.
Okay.
And the things that, it would be great to be good at everything. But quite honestly, I'm not good at things like setting KPIs, personal reviews, target setting, remuneration. That's not really what I'm.
And it's not why you got into business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm not sure it's the right thing for everyone to go the route that I have. But for me, it's been, and it kind of feels like we share the steering wheel, or at least, the front seats of the bus.
Yeah. Okay.
And there is. It's great to be able to bounce ideas off one another. I can think a little bit more, airy fairy, arty farty.
He can bring you back down to earth and go, how does it work? Biggest challenges that you've faced by bringing in an MD, would you say, Paul?
Keeping my mouth shut, because you always still want to have the last say. I'm the owner, and it's the first thing is keeping my mouth shut, and the second thing is giving him the feeling that he's got the autonomy he needs, because if he hasn't got that, so my job's a bit odd. Whilst I'm the owner and have this sort of helicopter view of things, actually on a day-to-day basis in the office, I'm kind of deferring to him, and that's how it has to be for that role to work. Mm-hmm. So I am creative director under his leadership on a day-to-day basis. It sounds weird and it sounds difficult, but actually, it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's okay.
And if you don't mind, I'm going to go into a little bit of the nitty gritties of running a business, because you've grown from a startup, one man band, up to kind of employing a number of people and logistically working across the UK and wider. And how does that then get managed? So first of all, do you have a business plan?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Virtually every book on running a business will tell you, if you don't have a map, how are you going to get to your destination?
Yeah.
You've got to have a plan.
And is this like a 50-page document that sits on your desk then, Paul? Or what is it, without giving away too much?
No. It's actually about a 4-page Excel sheet, quite honestly. Funnily enough, I did jury service a few years ago, which was a bit like having a little holiday for somebody who runs a business. But in all the time that we spent sitting waiting to be called into the court, I actually thought, I'm going to write down a business, and it went on forever, and it was kind of out of date the day after I'd written it. Yeah. But if you've got a fairly, everything's got to be flexible.
Yeah.
But if you've got a basic structure, a plan of what you want to achieve within a certain period of time, it's strange. It's like that film, build it and they will come. It's remarkable that if you actually set out to do things, you all of a sudden look at it and think, well, we're there. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. What next?
Yeah, sure. And then, so you've got a business plan with some numbers, of course, that back that up. How do you then review, reviewing performance against that plan? Do you regular reports? How does that work?
Well, I used to review it quite infrequently when I was kind of running the ship.
Because you were busy working in the business?
Yes. Glyn would ring me up and say, we're going to have a quarterly accounts meeting. And I'd have to think, I better figure out. But no, on a serious note, on a monthly basis, it was a case of, well, how are we against revenue target? How are we against profit target? What do we need to change? What do we need to improve? What do we need to ease back on? Mm-hmm. I would do that on a monthly basis. Bringing Matthew in, that is much more of a focus for him. He's on the thing daily, because a part of the issue that a lot of businesses have is you can be quite reactive. the plan, you can succeed on the plan almost by accident. What we're trying to do now, which is very different, is rather than just being kind of like service driven, we're actually trying to become a little bit more sales driven, so that we can actually project forward and see, well, yeah, that's coming down the track. You can wait for the phone to ring. You can wait for somebody to walk into your shop. You can wait for an order via you know, your website. But actually, when you start going out to try and bring that stuff in, you have a lot more control over, A, the people who you're working for, and B, theoretically, a better idea on numbers looking forward. It's not just a big surprise when it happens.
I think you've made some fantastic points. Being a major advocate of planning and strategy and reviewing against it, you know, and we use similar analogies, you know, using the kind of the journey, that if you don't have the coordinates of where you want to go, then how do you know if you're going to get there? It's going to give you the best possible chance. And there is still a chance that you come up with some roadworks. But then with a good business plan that's flexible, the sat-nav can just then navigate you through a different particular point. So do you mind if I ask, so with planning and having good people in with regular reviews, where does technology fit in your business? Because like many, it'll have had a major impact on operations.
Yeah.
But is there any in particular bits where technology's had a positive impact or potentially a negative impact on the business?
Positives. I mean, when I started out doing what I do, we were literally recording things on quarter-inch tape, and I had a razor blade, and I'd cut the tape, and I'd join it up with a bit of sellotape, and you know, that was my job. My job was to record stuff onto quarter-inch tape, and if I made an advert in Leeds that was on a radio station in York, we'd have to ring up a courier, they'd have to come and collect a little reel of tape, and they'd have to drive to York with it. And if they got waylaid along the way, or it snowed or whatever, the advert didn't get to where it needs to be.
Oh, right.
You know, now, you know, in the time it takes me to answer your question, we can make a commercial, we can dispatch a commercial, and we can actually hear it on the radio, literally, within minutes of
and has that driven prices down then, Paul, if you don't mind me asking? Has that commoditized some of the services?
I think it's probably kept them in check.
Okay.
In a sense, technology's just massively impacted on the speed with which we can do things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, email, getting clearance on things that used to take weeks now takes minutes, and the whole production process has sped up. It doesn't necessarily make us much more productive, because the thing that hasn't changed is the grey matter, the ideas, that side. So it's a bit like any programming or any sort of entertainment. The method of delivery might change. So you go from terrestrial TV to, you know, Netflix, yeah, or looking at stuff on the phone or whatever. The quality of what you produce is still the thing that keeps the business alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we've got lots of lovely kit and it's brilliant, but effectively, anyone watching this could go down to the local computer shop this afternoon and basically be set up within moments to make radio commercials. It's the technology has become so much more widely available.
And I suppose, therefore, kind of going on to the obvious next question, well, if that is the case, well, why do people use Get Carter then? What is it that then, because of, and we're in a similar ilk, that technology means that people can do their own accounts and can actually, yeah, produce them and send them through, but why do then people use Get Carter if they could just do it themselves?
Because, like any profession, accountancy, law, medicine, it's about having the experience to know that what you're doing is the right thing and being able to advise people what the right path is, or at least point out to them why they might not go down a certain route because it might have consequences that they'd not intended.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then obviously you've got the sort of the creative ideas. You know, that's what we're all about. It's about ideas and bringing things to life for people. There's an awful lot. It's not just about entertainment. You know, we make commercials. That's not about entertainment. It's about engaging people to get them to do something that they didn't think of doing before they heard your commercial or read your blog or, mm-hmm, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the thought behind that. The technology is just a tool. It's like the difference between having a calculator and an abacus. The numbers are the same.
Yeah.
But it just speeds the process up.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. So, I mean, you've been on an exciting journey that's had, I'm assuming, and you know, if you share some, having varying ups and downs, you know, of growing a business. You talked a bit around some of your traits and bringing in, you know, the new MD now. Looking back, what would you say the key challenges that you've had to overcome, you know, both, you know, through this journey to get you to a point now, which feels like, and forgive me with these words, but that anything is possible, you know, that actually that we can go to London, we can win these big businesses, that you've actually, there's a confidence in this business that says, hey, if we write this plan, we can deliver on it. But let's go back a bit. What challenges have you had to face and hurdles have you had to face to get there?
I think that's quite an easy one for me to answer because it's been with me every day almost. It is around the people that you work with. It's about finding the right way to empower them to do the best thing for what we're here as a team to do. It's in the bad old days, you would have said it's the balance between the carrot and the stick. To be blunt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the world's moved on. The world is light years away from that, the carrot and the stick. But it's around, for me, and what I think we've made huge steps in, it's about giving people the tools to do the job that we all agree needs to be done. It's not about any one person dictating around, it's 9 o'clock, you do that until 5, and then you go. It's about giving people the power and the scope to help you imagine and create a sort of a shared destiny. It all sounds a bit New World, and you know, but I just think the challenge for me has been finding that balance between just saying, we've had a really good month, here's a load of money, to saying, right, what do we want, mm-hmm. and what do we get when we get there, and what would you like out of this, and how does that...
Have you also had, you know, so we constantly have these discussions with clients when we're doing forecasting as well, around the time at which to hire. You know, the thought of, well, let's hire when the money's in the bank, or let's hire when we've taken those customers on. Have you had those kind of thoughts and challenges and hurdles to overcome as well?
Yes. Yeah, because at the end of the day, we only have so much capacity with the number of people that we. So over the years, yeah, we've grown the team. It's felt very natural and organic. You know what I was saying earlier about if I could change things, it would be to sort of think bigger sooner.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, if you do take the right people on, if you identify the right people and bring them in, it's like turbocharging your plan. Everything suddenly starts to flourish.
Yeah.
Quicker, but you've got to have the right people. And I think the key challenge for any business now is finding the people that understand what your organisation is there to do and how they can kind of like, not fit into that, but how they can add to it, mm-hmm. and how they can make it even more successful.
So wrapping things up a bit, because the challenge in this is that we could talk for ages, because I'm not just saying this. If there's a case study, if there's somebody that I feel that as an advisor that you can look back on and talk to who's been through a journey that every business owner would like to be on, but that has that self-awareness and resilience and reflection, it would be yourself, you know, from...
Thank you very much.
I think the fact that you've been, you know, started up, taken a risk, to now be in a position that you've brought in the right type of people, having been on that journey myself now for the last 6 years since we bought Harlands, is really inspiring. If there's one bit of advice that you look back on, so if, I'll ask you two questions in one. If there's one bit of advice that you could say, that was the best bit of advice I've ever had, is the one. That's a tough question. At the same point, if there was one bit of advice that you would be giving to someone who's listening to this, who's aspiring to grow a business and is thinking about it, what would that be? And would it be the same one?
Well, I thought you might ask me this. So I did a bit of thinking about this. And the best advice I got was actually from Glyn, probably in one of our first couple of meetings. And he gave me the advice in the first couple of meetings, and it probably took me 7 or 8 years to actually understand what he meant and kind of. But his advice was, spend more time working on the business than in the business. Because if you're leading an organisation, the only way that you can drive it forward is by stepping back and looking at the bigger picture and looking at what you really want that organisation that you've created to achieve. Because if all you do is spend your time with the day-to-day stuff and the minutiae and dealing with problems and emptying bins and all the stuff that needs to be, if you spend your time doing that, you just physically can't do the big important stuff.
The most important stuff, yeah. I'm going to leave it there. I think thank you very much for your time. We've covered an awful lot, and you appreciate your time in there. That was our first Business Builder live and on tour across the Northeast. I'm sure you found that incredibly useful. Check out some of the blogs that the guys at Get Carter write. Have a look on their social media. Some really, really useful stuff. So thanks, guys, and we'll see you in a month's time.